Good morning. Morning. That was a very nice welcome. Thank you, Bernice. Good to be with you again this morning. Pete, that was really an excellent start to the service, I think. Just that focus on hope and what is hope and what isn't hope and where we're at and the state of the world. And not surprisingly, as I started thinking about this morning and I'm looking at our only hope for joy, the state of the world kind of rung hard with me as well. That sense of we could look at the world stage. We could look at that state of the environment issues. We could think about Brexit. We could think about the election. We could think about the future of the NHS. We could think about the plight of the poor. And where is our hope in amongst that all? Where is our joy in amongst all of that? Do we have joy even when faced with all of those? So having got you ready this morning by asking about hope, I want you now to talk to each other about joy. What is joy and what is the difference between joy and happiness? Okay, so just have a little chat together. What is joy and what is the difference between joy and happiness? Brilliant. And that's the heart of it all, isn't it? That joy is that thing that stays deep within us. And at our last growth group, we were talking there about that sense of something inside you that just holds on and is there whatever else is going on. So that joy can still be there. Even when we are, you know, we're surrounded by all those things that actually might seek to steal our joy, the joy can still be there. It's still deep, buried within us. So we're looking at that theme of joy and our hope of joy coming to us through that Christmas story. So we're going to start at the beginning of the story, in effect, the news that there's going to be a baby. And of course, that sense that the message came to Mary that she was going to have a baby. And in her circumstance, within her historical context, this was going to be big. This was going to be hugely, hugely big. How can she find joy in the middle of all that? You see, when we give news, we don't always get the reactions you might expect. Many years ago, Richard and I were expecting our third child. And we already had the two. We had two girls, one of whom was five, one of whom was three. So we sat them down one day and we said to them, we've got some news. Someone new is going to be coming to live with us, expecting them to be, oh, a baby, exciting. What we didn't expect is our five-year-old to turn around and say, could it be a giraffe? There is a reason. If you want to know why, I'll tell you later. Reactions aren't necessarily what you expect they're going to be. Could we have the first slide? Thank you. It's very, very small print, I'm afraid. So we have Elizabeth and we have Mary. They're in the same family. They live in the same historical context. They know that this is a big deal. A young girl expecting a baby out of marriage. Yet, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And this is the verse. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." The baby leapt for joy just by being in the same room as another unborn baby. Just that sense of the joy that is there, the joy that is coming because of the coming of the baby. Elizabeth could have had a very different reaction to her cousin who's expecting a baby out of marriage. Yet she knows that her baby within her has leapt for joy. And Mary's response, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Despite their circumstances, despite all those things that seem stacked up against it, they hold a different perspective. And joy shines into their darkness, and that joy will hold them strong through all that is to come. There is a difference between happiness and joy. Joy is resilient. Joy can remain when happiness has gone. Joy will stay steadfast despite all the circumstances around it. Joy. Our hope of joy came that first Christmas. So then we move on. We move on into the story, and the baby is born. The baby is born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph are far away from family. They're far away from friends. They are alone. A joyful time of a baby. A time where you would have expected historically there to be much celebration. A baby and a new baby in a family. Yet they are alone. Where is the joy in that situation? Today when we welcome a baby into a family, there are many ways we can mark that arrival, many ways of celebration. Heather, do you want to come and join me just now? Heather was the one person I knew that's had a baby recently arrive in their family. When did your baby arrive? Not yours, but you know.
My son and daughter-in-law's baby arrived 9 days ago.
Excellent. And tell me, do you, as a family, do you have ways that you mark that joyful moment?
We have a family shawl. When it was given to me 30 years ago, it was very yellow and moth-eaten. So my mother very kindly knitted a new one. And my daughter used it I used it for my daughter and my son. And my daughter used it for her too. And now my son has it for his son. I still can't get over the fact that my son is a dad. My little boy. But it's amazing, and it's just an amazing feeling.
So isn't there that sense that actually at a time where your baby is born, it's wonderful to have those people around you who can celebrate with you. We don't have a shawl in our family. We have something a little bit different. We have a crib. I'm one of four. My brother is 8 years older than me, and when he had his first child, they bought a crib, and all of his children slept in that crib, and all of my eldest sister's children slept in that crib, all of my twin sister's children slept in that crib, all of my children slept in that crib. That was 11 children slept in that crib, at which point we got a brass plaque. And in my head, nothing says welcome to a family like a brass plaque. But that brass plaque is on the crib with the names and the date of birth of all the children. Now, because my brother is 8 years older than me, his children have had their children now. So now we're on to my great nephews and nieces. 13 more babies have slept in that crib. It's getting a little bit rickety now. I'm not going to sure if it's going to make it for too much longer. So now there are 24 names on brass plaques on that crib. Amazing, isn't it? That sense of real belonging and being accepted and being celebrated. Yet when the King of Heaven arrived, no family around. Let's look at Luke. If you've got Bibles with you, turn to Luke 2, verse 8 to 20.
And there were shepherds residing in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Just then, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I behold, For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in a swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, and on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to heaven and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. After they had seen the child, they spread the message they had received about him, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds turned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, which was just as the angel had told them.
Thank you, Alex. So that song, "King of Heaven, Come Down, Let Your Glory Reign, Shine In Like the Day." This is that arrival of that infant, but the King of Heaven who has come down. So what have the shepherds got to do with joy? I've kind of looked at this under that title of removing the tea towel. You know, just I think our view of the shepherds so often has been dictated to by nativities where children are wearing a tea towel and it's all very cute and they've got little lambs. But the reality, of course, is really different. Who were they and how were they seen? We know already that they were regarded as people outside of the ordinary. They were looked at as dirty, maybe homeless, often considered to be thieves or liars. And the Talmud teaches us that no help should be given to heathen and shepherds. So how would they feel? This group of people, they're excluded, oppressed, rejected, unwanted, vulnerable, considered not good enough. And how much of our society would identify with some of those feelings as they look at the way they're treated, they look at the way the world views them? How many people in society would say, "Yeah, I feel excluded. I feel oppressed. I feel rejected and unwanted. I know I'm vulnerable, and I know people look on me and say, you are not good enough." Yet to them comes the message that the Christ has been born. That word, great joy, apparently, I read, that the great comes from Greek, which is megalen, which means mega. Mega, or we use it as mega, mega joy, mega joy. They are being given that sense of mega joy beyond all understanding. Great joy. These shepherds, they're just living out their life. They're just working, doing what they should do day by day by day, aware of all their life circumstances around them. And into that, God breaks. He breaks in with a message of love, with a message of acceptance, with a message that says, "You are valued. I count you worthy because I will let you be the first people to know of the birth of my son." How countercultural is that? Who usually would hear first? If a royal baby has been born, even to this day, messages are sent across the world to the important people first, the ones that count. For a family, who do you let know first? It's family, friends, people that are important to you. So the people that were told first by God, the people that were important to him, are the ordinary people, those who do feel rejected, those who do feel on the edge. That message that brings joy to life You are loved. You are loved and counted important enough to be the first people to know of the coming of Jesus. You know, shepherds could not even, they couldn't even be called on to give testimony in the court of law. They weren't allowed to. Also, women weren't allowed to be called on to give testimony in the court of law. And who were the first people to see the risen Lord? The women. Just that sense that God says, I don't work by the world standard. I come to you, the ones that I love. So God's message of the birth comes first to them. They are chosen to be the first to see the Lamb of God come down. There's a quote from a man called Henry Nouwen. It says, Jesus reveals to us God's love so that his joy may become ours and that our joy may become complete. Joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death can take that love away. Joy is knowing that you are unconditionally loved by God. And that's what stays with us. That is what roots in us. Christian joy that cannot be stolen. The fact that God loves us. The fact that the birth of Jesus was told first to the shepherds just tells us, you know, if the message was given first to the shepherds, we are all included. In a worldly view, that the shepherds being the lowest, if they were the ones that first heard, everyone is included. We are loved by God. We are loved with that lavish, never-ending love. That love that says you are chosen, you are valued, I count you worth everything. But Henry Nouwen goes on to say, still, nothing happens automatically in the spiritual life. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy, and we have to keep choosing it every day. It's a choice based on the knowledge that we belong to God and have found in God our refuge and our safety, and that nothing, not even death, can take us away. Not even death can take God away from us. We have to keep choosing. You see, the shepherds, they were there, they were watching. They were waiting on their sheep, and the message came to them, and they had a choice on how to react. They could have just gone back to the sheep and left it, or they could have been touched and they could have responded, which is what they did. Let us go and see that thing which we have been told. At the end, we see the shepherds go and tell others, and the others were amazed, but that was it. They were amazed. They received the message, but they didn't respond. We can hear year on year, we can hear that message that God loves you. We can hear that message that the hope of joy comes from this. And we can say, that's amazing, but not respond. We have to be the people who say, amen, I want to see this and go to find more. To take it from the head to the heart. To receive the message and respond to it, choosing joy daily. We can be caught up in that trap of if only I had my favourite lunch today, then I'd be happy. If only I got the right response at an interview. If only you know, that I could afford to buy this. If only I could go on holiday there, then I would be happy. what I'm saying today is for joy, step away from that trap and step into that sense of receiving that really simple message that is at the heart of Christmas, that you are loved. Receive it and respond to it in worship. Worship the one who loves you and sent his son to tell you that. Just think of the power of that message to the shepherds. The power of that message that says, there's a baby been born. God has sent this message to you. The power of that message. And know that you are loved unconditionally. Know that you have everything you need. Because you have Jesus. You've got the love of God. And you can know that mega joy. The Romans verse, which Helen referred to earlier, was, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. You may feel you're suffering. You may feel you have everything you want in life. But lasting joy will only be found in knowing Jesus, obeying God, and living in the light of the fact that you are loved lavishly and unconditionally by God. You are loved by Emmanuel, God with us. That's why he came. And that's why the angels told the shepherds. That's why. Let's pray. Father, as we just ponder for a while on that difference between happiness, which is temporary and passing, and joy, which can only come from you. Father, I just pray you come with conviction on us again this year, that you open us to that real sense of how we are loved by you, that will impact us in a way that just helps us to hold on to you. That joy will be within us day by day by day, that whatever happens, the world will not be able to steal it. Because you are our hope and you are our joy. Amen.